Oh, glory. Aren't you glad today you have a Savior who has triumphed, who is victorious? Thank you. Who has us, the Scripture says, in the palm of His hand. We are His today. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that we have a Savior that knows us and knows what we have need of and speaks to us. This morning, with God's help, I want you to stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 2. I want to open up with this Scripture. John chapter 2, I want to begin reading in verse 12. It's there where Jesus comes and cleanses His temple, the temple. And from there I will, through the help of the Lord, share with you what God has laid on my heart this week. It's been on my heart. I've been thinking upon it a lot. I've been praying over it. And I feel God has led me in this direction to share with us this morning. God's Word in John chapter 2, verse 12. After this, He went down to Capernaum, He and His mother and His brethren and His disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when He had made a scourge of small cords, He drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables. And said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And His disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto Him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Amen. Would you pray with me this morning? With the Lord's help, I want to talk to us about having zeal for God. Having zeal for God. Heavenly Father, I ask this morning that You would strengthen me, God. Enable the Holy Ghost to work through my life, dear Lord. That my mind be clear, my thoughts be clear, dear God. That the Word of God would be prevalent and preached, O Lord. That Your truths would come forth with boldness, O God, this day. For, Lord, we desire, God, to walk in Your manner, to walk in Your likeness, to walk in the way that You have walked in this world, God. And, Lord, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You are our strength and our might and our fortress today, God. Be with us, Lord. Help us, God, this morning. Help us this morning, God, that we have a zeal of God that will not diminish. That we have a zeal of God that will go forth and accomplish what is set forth to do. For, Lord, we ask it in Your wonderful name, God, this morning. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Praise God, praise God. We have here Jesus, of course, going to Jerusalem. Going there to the house of His Father. Hallelujah. And while He goes to the house of His Father, we see He sees certain things of the sheep and the oxen. He sees the money changers and He sees those selling doves. And something happens within the Lord. Zeal of God's house burns within His very heart. He makes a small cord or whip, if you will. I don't know how long it took. That doesn't matter. And He takes that whip and He whips those money changers and those selling livestock and those in God's house out of God's house. What a spectacle that must have been. You know, sometimes when you wish you could go back and be certain places in Scripture and events, you know, if you could transport yourself back, I would like to have been there that day.
Yeah.
I would like to have witnessed my Lord and the zeal of my God going forth in His Father's house. Woo! I want us to look, as I want to share with you concerning zeal. Maybe I should first of all share with you what zeal is not, so that we can have a clear understanding, the further I go on, what zeal for the Lord is. Zeal is not a coolness about us. Zeal is not half-heartedness. I didn't hear very many amens there. I tell you, we live in a world today that is full. We have churches today that are full of coolness and half-hearted people. Woo! We don't need that in God's house. We need a people that are going to have zeal for God. We live in a culture today that is indifferent about everything. Zeal is not having indifference. Zeal is not being a group of people who are lukewarm. Come on now. We cannot serve our God with the zeal He wants if we are lukewarm Christians. I'll get to Laodicea in a little while. They were a lukewarm church. God came to them and rebuked them. And I'll tell you about that rebuke He gives them later. But we cannot in this generation and in the church that we serve Jesus Christ have a careless attitude. I'm talking to you about what zeal is not. It is not having a careless attitude about the things of God. It is not having a disinterest about God. You know, many people come into God's house and we got everything else on our minds. But God. Come on, stay with me, church. It's not having unconcern. Zeal is not having unconcern. You know, people come, I just don't care. We got this careless attitude. We come into the house of God unconcerned about anything. We haven't sought God through the week. We haven't prayed. We haven't looked unto Him, the author and the finisher of our life. We haven't prayed for our brothers and sisters. We have unconcern when we walk into the house of God. We don't believe God's going to be here. We have no zeal. But what I read to you there about Jesus in the temple of His Father, the zeal burned in Jesus. Woo! Zeal welled up in Him because His house will not be a house. My Father's house will not be a house of merchandise. It will not be a house taken for common. It will not be a house of coolness around me. It's not going to be a half-hearted worship of my Father in this house. Woo! Glory to God. Amen, church. There's not going to be any careless attitudes running around here. Can you see the whip? Get on out. And He's whipping the backs of the people. And He's rushing them out of there. Hallelujah. He's cleaning up His Father's house. For God knows that they that worship God must worship Him in what? Spirit and in truth. And with the zeal that God is looking for. Hallelujah. None of this lackadaisical, whimsical type of worship that some churches give God. I think it's a sham.
Amen.
Now, you may say, Brother Cottle, you're getting a little on the edge there. I call it for what I call it, church.
Yes.
We either have the zeal for God, and after all, God is our God, is He not? And should not our God deserve all the zeal that we have? Amen. I believe that. God's not looking for His church to come in and have a half-hearted devotion toward Him. it will not profit you, and God will not be among that mess. Amen. Christ here, and I chose this scripture because He is our example. He is the holy example that we look unto. In Psalm 69:9, it says, "For the zeal of thine house have eaten me up." Woo, glory. "And the reproaches of them that reproach thee are falling on me." Hallelujah. Come on, church. How is our zeal then to be, should I say, shown or demonstrated or evidenced here in church? Or in our jobs? Or in the community that we serve around us? Here in Beaufort County and the other counties around us? How is this zeal for the God supposed to be demonstrated? Well, I've shared with you what zeal is not, but let me share you what zeal is. That we have a clear understanding as we go through the scriptures together, that you will see, and I hope through the grace of God this morning, what it is. Zeal, first and foremost, is a passion. Woo, glory. Having a passion and having an enthusiasm. One thing I can't stand is a Christian that's not enthused. I cannot. It's like a nails down a chalkboard with me, scratching on it. To seeing a Christian who's not enthused and not on fire for God. Woo, that's zeal. To be on fire. To have some what we call, you've heard the term, gusto about us, you know. We're just not with our heads hung down and sad, walking around, the world's beating me up, you know. I can't take anymore. No, sir. Our shoulders are back. Our head's up. Praise God. We got a walk and a stat, you know, a little snap to our walk. Woo! We know in whom we have believed in. We got gusto in the Lord that we serve. We're enthusiastic about our God. We have a passion and a love for Jesus Christ. Amen. Also, zeal is a readiness to do God's will. Woo! We're ready. Amen. Bible tells us to be ready in season and out of season. It may reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering. We need to be ready. How can we be ready if we come in not ready? Amen. Praise God. We need to be Christians who are ready, full of zeal and enthusiasm and fire, ready to do God's will and God's bidding. That also follows along that we better be zeal. It also talks to us about being earnest about the work of God. There must be an earnestness in us. Oh, praise God. Church, we've got to be eager about God's bidding, God's will. Jesus was enthusiastic to serve His Father. We must be enthusiastic and eager and have a seriousness about us with all sincerity in serving God in zeal. Excited about God. Lifting Him up. Praising His wonderful name. Shouting His glory to the housetops. Hallelujah. When others see us, they should know, "Oh, you know what? That man serves God." How do they know you serve God? Because you demonstrated through the passion of zeal that you have for God. They see it. They observe it. People observe you. You walk around downcast all the time, and you walk around down with the lip hanging to the ground, and yeah, they're going to see, well, there goes a half-hearted Christian. Woo! Come on. Instead, they need to see a Christian full of zeal. Oh, hallelujah. And I want us to see where this zeal is demonstrated. In a few areas, first of all, one way, of course, and most important, zeal should be demonstrated in spirit, in well-doing, in continuing for the faith, in the desire to see others saved. Our zeal should continue in these manners. And I want us to look at just a couple scriptures there in Romans chapter 12. When I talk about our zeal is to be evidenced and demonstrated and shown in spirit, it says in Romans 12:11, "Let not slothfulness, be not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Hallelujah. We should be some of the best Christians on our jobs. In our workplaces, where we go, the Spirit of the Lord should be shed upon us, and we should have a spirit that is demonstrated that we are busy about God. We are not lagging in anything. We're not slothful in the business that we do for the Lord, but we are fervent daily serving God. Fervent in spirit. You read the Gospels, you never see Jesus lazy about his Father's work. Never lazy. Never taking second seat. Never saying, well, I'll tell you what, disciples, we'll just sleep a few more hours. No, Jesus was the one who was up early in the morning before all they got up even. And he was out seeking his Father in prayer. Woo! Fervent for God. Hallelujah, church. Also in well-doing in Galatians 4:18. But it is good, it says, to be zealously affected. Woo! Glory. Always in a good thing. And not only when I am present with you. How can I say this, church? Help me, Lord. We should be seeking to do good and to do good to all people always. Always, church. That it becomes we're affected in doing good. You know how sometimes we get affected with sickness? We need to get affected in doing good to people. Praise the Lord. Amen. In other words, I can't wait to help my brother. Woo. I can't wait to do something for my sister. I can't wait to do something for the house of God. I'm zealous and affected with God in my heart. I want to do well and do it good. Amen. Now, this is the zeal I'm talking about. And I'm going to talk about a little bit more about it because I think sometimes we go around too much. And please bear with me. Don't get mad at Brother Cottle. Just bear with me because I think many times we don't exhibit the zeal that God wants from us. In Titus 2:14, he says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every iniquity or lawless deed. Same thing. And purify unto himself a peculiar people. What does he say? Zealous of good works. Zealous of good works. In contending for the faith in Jude 1:3. Beloved, when I have given all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Earnestly contending for the faith. There has to be a zeal and a longing to contend for the faith. I tell you, when we lack in that, if we turn around and say, well, we become careless and we become slothful, we will not fight the good fight of faith. We will not lay hold of eternal life because we have been slothful and careless and not zealous to keep earnestly that which was committed unto us, church. I believe that. I believe it. This desire as well, that this zealous desire should give us a desire to see others saved. In Romans 10:1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that you might be saved. The Apostle Paul, his prayer, his desire, his zeal, his passion, his heart is to have Israel saved. Wow. How many of us gather together to pray? How many of us get together when we need as brothers and sisters to get together to pray? God, save our neighbors. Is it burning within our heart? Is a zeal stirred within us to say, God, let me not sleep until my neighbor is saved. Woo! Let me not grow content where I am, but God, I want to have a strong, ardent desire to see people saved. Yes, sometimes we remember, we go back in our minds, we remember when we got saved, we get happy about it. We remember the time that Jesus saved us and lifted us up and We were all excited that day. You probably go back in your mind as I'm preaching and remember the day Jesus saved you. Boy, what a happy time that was. Y'all can remember the day Jesus saved you. And how excited you were, and everything seemed brand new, and you just had like a spring to you, you know. Everything was, oh boy, I can't wait to do what Jesus says. I can't wait to just be in the church. I can't wait to be among God's people. You had a passion. Amen, church. You had a desire and an earnest desire to follow God. But as the days go, as the years go, we don't keep that earnestness. We don't keep that zeal among us. Then we begin to grow cold. We begin to stand off from God. We begin to show, as it were, our faces in church, but our heart is far from God. We must have a heart that is close to Him. Even Paul, before Agrippa, in Acts chapter 26, verse 29, says, Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these bonds or chains. Almost had Agrippa convinced that he needed salvation. There's so many people today in churches that are almost convinced. Almost ready to give to God their heart. Almost to surrender to the Lord their will. But they don't have enough zeal to stand up and to step forward and to let God lead them down to the aisle. Because they have been so conditioned by the world that they don't want to release to God everything that they have and be saved in this generation. It takes a zeal for God. It takes a longing for God. Now, I said all that to tell you this, and we're going to get to some scriptures. Turn with me to Numbers, if you would. Are you with me? Okay. Numbers chapter 25. We have a few in Scripture who I want to share this morning, who are praiseworthy to note, who are commendable men and women, who model for us. You know, we need a model. We need a pattern to follow. If we have a pattern, if we have a model to look at, we follow that if it's good. It's a shame so many follow bad patterns today. But when we have good ones, and I want to share with you one individual in particular, there in chapter 25 of Numbers. My Bible got, let me get back over here, 25. Chapter 25 of Numbers. And this man's name is Phinehas. What a man. Numbers chapter 25, beginning with me, if you would. Just let's go to a couple scriptures, verse 11. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, had turned my wrath away from the children of Israel while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore, say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Yeah. Woo! What a declaration about this man. Well, what's going on here in the story? Well, if you go back in the Scriptures, you'll see in chapter 25 and verse 1 that Israel abode in Sittim, and the people began to commit whoredom and with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto sacrifice of their gods. Our God is a jealous God. He will not share worship with other gods. He told them, He gave them commandments, thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make any graven images in the likeness of me. God is jealous. So here we see that the children of God are beginning to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they call the people into sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bow down to their gods. My, church. Where's the zeal for God in this group of people? Hello? Their God is far from their conscience. God is far from their attention. God is not even near them right now. All they care about is the satisfaction of their own self. Whew. And the Lord, verse 4, said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. I'm telling you, God was angry. God was upset with them for what they have done, joining themselves with Moab and worshiping and offering sacrifices to their gods. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. Woo! Come on now. I'll tell you what. You talk about justice and action being taken quickly by God. He does it. We need to understand something about God. When we come to worship Him, we better come with a spirit of reverence. We better come with a spirit of fear. We better come with a spirit of zealousness for God. And we better have our hearts ready to worship Him and not have our hearts on some other god in this land. Come on! God sees us, church. Woo! And behold, verse 6, one of the children. Now, come on, follow me close here, church. One of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They were weeping and seeking God because God had sent out a plague among them to destroy them. God's people were concentrated, weeping there before the tent, weeping there before God, and in the midst of that, an Israelite man, who was prominent, by the way, goes and get a Moabitish woman who was also prominent in the Moabites. Now, you've got to see what's happening here. And he takes this woman and he ardently and just presumptuously walks before Moses, walks before the congregation that is weeping, and they're going off into the tent of their desire.
Come on, bro.
Oh, man. Come on, church. Stay with me here. Stay with me. Well, something happens. Verse 8. And he went after... let's go up to verse 7. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation. Thank you, God. And took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly, so that the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. One man, Phinehas, stands up. One man. Notice, not anyone else in Israel, not any other man stands up. But Phinehas does. Something within this man stirred him. A holy indignation becomes his guide and he rightly judges what needs to be done. Woo! may we have men that would rise up in spirit like Phineas today. Amen. In the ungodly world that we live in. Now, I understand we live in a culture today, in a world today. We're not to take, of course, a sword or a javelin, and we're not to kill anybody. I don't want anybody misunderstanding me here this morning. That is not our job, okay? We don't do that. But this was a nation that God has made. This is His people. And here Phineas, with this righteous judgment that he goes out with this spear to take because of their presumptuous sin. I cannot believe how brazen sin will take you. This man and this woman go brazenly before Moses, passing before the children of Israel. But here, Phineas, God uses him immediately, it seems, as we look at that. He rises up and he takes the terrible retribution that has to be done. He has to go and place judgment upon the actions of these people. The sin and fornication that they are committing. Phineas was gripped with zeal. Amen, church. Oh, I pray God would give us men today with that same spirit of Phineas. Women today with the spirit of Phineas. He was zealous, church, for the Lord. He had a zeal for God's honor and God's justice. And therefore, he got up and he did what needed to be done. You know, it's easy in our world today to be tolerant in the presence of great sins. Huh. Lord, help me. But when we get to the point where we're tolerant in the presence of great sins, it shows a heart far from right toward God. Our nation, we're in a nation today that is committing gross sins. We are killing children in the womb of mothers. The atrocity, all because, if I may put it in quote, that the woman may have and the man may have their pleasure. They will go ahead and destroy an infant in the womb of a mother.
Right.
We call it abortion. I call it murder.
Right.
We have killed millions of children. And yet it seems as though the church world, I'm not saying every church, don't get me wrong here, but in general the church world is tolerant of this atrocity.
Go ahead.
We seem to turn an eye away from it, or we turn around from it. We ignore it. It doesn't affect us. It doesn't stir us inside because, you know, hey, that's just, we've accepted it. God hasn't accepted it. But because it's away from us sometimes and maybe it hasn't affected personally our families or whatever the circumstance may be, we tolerate it. We need to get a zeal among us. And that we start speaking out for the unborn. Amen. That we make our voices heard for these infants who cannot speak because of just man's greed and man's pleasure wanting what they want. Amen?
Yeah.
What I want you to understand here is what is needed is that we should emulate the zeal that Phineas had without imitating, of course, the expression of that zeal. We don't take a javelin and we don't strike anyone, but listen, we can still have the same zeal and the heart for God.
Yeah.
To stand up in the midst of trials, in the midst of circumstances, and to do what God wants us to do. If God is worth serving at all, church, He's worth serving with all the zeal and gusto we got. And we need to remember that as we serve the Lord our God. Oh, hallelujah. There are even harder things to be done nowadays than just to, I guess, take up a javelin and to thrust it through those shameless fornicators today. I mean, that seems to be easy, but that's against the law. We can't do that. But there seems to be harder things today that we have to fight. And we need the zeal of God in our lives to fight it. It needs a pure and a fervent zeal to take one stand with the few among us. It takes a zeal to stand with a few, or even a zeal to stand alone. How many of you stood alone and no one's there to help you? You're there confronting your enemy and, you're overwhelmed. You need the zeal of the Lord to give you the strength to go through. Amen, church. We have these things that come against us. All sorts of worldly principles and practices prevailing in what ought to be God's kingdom through Christ Jesus. We're warring against it. I remember when the Scripture says when Paul withstood Peter, if you recall in the Scripture, he withstood him face to face because he was, remember, to be blamed. Paul associated himself with the Jews. Peter got away with the Jews and he was taken back under the Jews' tradition for a moment, which was not right. But Paul withstood him face to face. Amen. Yeah. He did something quite hard. Just as if he had ran a javelin through Peter.
Right, come on.
Paul stood with the zeal of the Lord. Right. Peter, you're wrong.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. We need to have the same spirit of zeal for the Lord. And to use it in proper manners for God. In God's service, everyone is going to get his chance. You serve the Lord long enough. Phinehas got his chance here. And let me tell you something about that. Did you notice in the Scripture, it did not say that Phinehas rose up and he went and asked his father if he could have permission to do what he was going to do. He didn't get up and go over there and tap Moses on the back. Moses, is it okay if I take a javelin and go over here and strike them dead?
Come on, bro.
Scripture says he rose up,
right,
went and got a javelin, saw where they went, here he comes. Woo! Judgment was pending.
Yeah.
It was the act. Everything depended on himself. The very act of Phinehas. What he did. The act was the outcome of what? His honesty, amen? His fiery devotion and his godly heart. Woo, glory! He was devoted to Jehovah. He was devoted to God's law. He was devoted to the house of God. He was devoted to Him with everything. And when this happened, this atrocity, this devastating act of fornication before them was enough to rise zeal up within him and say, no longer will I stand and let this commence in the house, in the area of God's people. I'm going to take care of it. Zeal welled up within him. That godly heart of Phinehas, hallelujah. And all that God would give us men today, that zeal would rise up within him and say, enough is enough. We're not going to put up with any more of this mess in this world today. We're going to serve God with a whole heart. We're going to obey His laws, His commandments. We're going to do what God wants done, hallelujah. If there is zeal in us, there will never be occasion lacking to have a job to do.
Right.
It's amazing how many times we are confronted about our faith or confronted about our God and how many times we take the back seat.
Come on.
How many times we try to scoot away from the problems or try to evade certain questions and on I could go. But you get my point. We need to have the spirit of Phinehas and the zeal, because the occasions will come your way that you must stand, maybe together or maybe alone, but you will stand for the right of God. Hallelujah. Phinehas had been required to show the zeal of that of a destroyer. He went in to destroy those two committing fornication. But it proved also to be the zeal of a preserver. Yes, he pronounced judgment, and yes, judgment was carried forth, but it also was a preserver of the children of Israel. Because of his very act, God saw his heart, God saw his motive, God saw the zeal, God knew he loved him, God said, wow! If I could say wow, you know, God was just amazed. Praise the Lord, look at this man. Here's one that stands for my honor and my glory. Wow. And he blessed Phinehas, as I read to you in verses 11 through 13. He blessed him and made him to have an everlasting priesthood in verse 13. Because he was zealous for his God and made atonement for the children of Israel. Hallelujah. You see, if we remain zealous for the Lord, if we remain trustworthy, if we remain on fire and passion for God, and the occasions rise up, that we're able to stand amidst, amongst them all of whatever comes our way, and the zeal of the Lord will help us fight the good fight of faith, amen, and lay hold of eternal life, God will bless us. God will help us. God will see us through it, no matter what comes our way. You see, Phinehas was ready to wear the garments of the priesthood. Hallelujah. Woo! In his serving God, in his heartfelt love for the Lord and his devotion to Jehovah, he was ready to put on the priestly garments of Aaron. Amen. God said, you shall have a priesthood forever. Wow. What about us today? What about our lives today? How zealous are we for God? How much do we love Him with all of our devotion and all of our heart and are ready to fight the good fight of faith and are ready to be just given over with passion and desire for everything of God? Is there anything lacking in us? Phew. I want to share one more thing with you with concerning Phinehas. That the zeal, I mean, there's different aspects of zeal, that some of it can be wrongly motivated, some of it can be wrongly put forth. We know that in Scripture as well. You can have a zeal, but your zeal can be wrongly placed, I should say. Paul was that way, or the Saul at the time was that way. He had a zeal for God, but his zeal was misplaced. He persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. And he had a zeal for the house of God. He was burned up with passion over it. But he was wrong. We must place our zeal in the proper channel of God. Zeal that can do nothing but protest. Now hear me. Zeal that does nothing but denounce. Okay, I'm talking about people have passion that just protest all the time. They denounce things all the time. They like destroy things. They just look to destroy. They have a burning passion to just tear everything down that someone tries to do. God will never approve, nor will God ever reward them. No, sir. The zeal for God is one that is going to love Him and promote the kingdom of God and lift up the church and move forward in the fight and the battles. Just like the song we sing, Onward Christian Soldiers, as we go on out to war. We are to be approved and awarded by God because we have zeal for His house, for His word, for His love. Amen. Woo! Have I tired you yet? Come on now. Stay with me just a little bit longer. There's one other man in Scripture, a couple I want to look at. Go with me to the second book of Kings. Kings, chapter 2. I mean, excuse me. 2 Kings, chapter 23, I should say. Hallelujah. He Here we find in the scriptures a man by the name of Josiah. King Josiah. Woo! What a man. When you read about him and you read the chapters, I'm not going to read all of it, but you will find that this man, when he was delivered from the house of God that was buried, the very law of God by Hilkiah, and Hilkiah gives it unto him, the book of the word of the law. Woo! Glory! And he is read in his sight and he reads it. Everything changes in this man's life. What am I saying? We need to have God's word. We need to obey God's word. Now, I want you to just go with me. I'm not going to give you just a little bit of Josiah. Go down to verse 19. Chapter 23, verse 19. And all the houses also of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger, Josiah took away. I'm talking, this is a man with zeal for God. A man with less zeal would not have done anything. And did to them according to all the acts that he had done to Bethel. And he slew all the priests of the high places and that were on the altars and that burned men's bones upon them and returned to Jerusalem. And the king commanded all the people saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God as it is written in the book of this covenant. Surely there was not holden such as possessor from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah. And in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein this Passover was holden to the Lord in Jerusalem, moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and of wizards and of images of idols and of all abominations that were, listen to this, that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away, that he might perform the works of the law which were written in the book of Hilkiah, the priest found in the house of the Lord. And like unto him, there was no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might according to the law of Moses, neither after him rose there any like him. I'm talking about a king, when he heard the law of God, the zeal of the Lord welled up within this king, and he did everything that the law said to do. He kept the Passover. He got rid of the abominations. He tore down the groves. He tore down everything that would compete against his God. He got rid of wizards. He got rid of spirits. He got rid of all manage of imageries, any idols or any anything that were abomination in the sight of God. This man's zeal burned within him for his God.
Amen.
You say, Brother Carter, you're crazy. The scripture says no one else raised up like Josiah. In a land that was corrupt, in a land full of idols and idolatry, in a land that was steeped in sin, his people, he turned them back to God. How did he do that? The zeal of the Lord consumed him. He had a passion to serve God. He had a want to do, a gusto to do the works of the law. And he was going to make sure that everyone else did them too. Glory to God. Amen. This is the type of spirit we need, church. We need men to rise up today and say, hey, I'm tired of the things that are said against my God today. I'm tired of the things that are going on around me today. I'm going to stand firm in my God. I'm going to stand to His Word. I'm not going to turn to the left or the right. I'm going to do what God tells me to do. He is my God. I'm going to serve Him with all the heart and all my life today. Church, we need to be men like Josiah. He had the people keep the Passover. Glory to God. I'm telling you, he turned them around. What a man this man was. I'm still talking about zeal. What have we done lately that God would be pleased with, that has shown we have a zeal for God?
Come on,
What have we done for the Lord that has shown others that we burn in passion for the Christ we serve? Can others look around us at our jobs and say, hey, that man truly loves God? You talk to him and he's going to tell you about Jesus Christ. Is there a zeal in us? Lately, have we stood for the honor of God? Have we stood up in the spirit, as it were, of Phinehas to fight these small battles that come our way and say we're going to stand our ground? Or have we just tolerated sin? Turned the other way? Have we become unconcerned about the problems around us? Or have we made a determination that we're going to do what God wants? It takes zeal and passion and devotion and commitment to do God's work. We can't have people who are slothful and half-hearted and unconcerned to serve God. God will never approve of that. He's looking for men like Phinehas. He's looking for men like Josiah. He's looking for men like as well as Apollos in Acts chapter 18. And I read to you verse 25. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord and being fervent in spirit. Notice, being fervent in spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. But still, he was burning inside. Hallelujah. With the zeal of God. And we know about Apollos. He was a great speaker, a great orator. One that spoke well. But take all that away. What I want you to see is this man fervently labored for God. And with only the baptism of John, he's not even filled with the Holy Ghost. Takes Priscilla and Aquila to pull him to the side. Let me expound a little better to you. And they expounded to him more of Jesus. Whoo, glory. Where is your zeal? Where is your passion? There's another individual in Scripture in Colossians. Paul speaks of him, Epaphras. Epaphras is one of you who is one of you, he said in chapter 4 of Colossians, verse 12 and 13. A servant of Christ saluteth you. Now listen, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. This man, Epaphras, the Scripture declares, Paul says, he has a great zeal for you. Church, do we have a great zeal for one another? This man burned with passion for his brothers and sisters. He burned in passion to pray for them often and always, the Scripture says, laboring fervently in his prayers. I guess sometimes we may be ashamed of how much we honestly pray for one another. I guess if God could show us and reveal to us in the scales, we would probably be lacking because we have not fervently done that. But I want to exhort you before I close. We're to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 12, 11. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. He also told the church in Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. I told you I would get to that. He says in verse 19, as many as I love. Now, listen, church. I rebuke and chasten, he says. This is the words of Jesus. As many as I love, I rebuke
and chasten. Then Jesus says, be zealous, therefore, and repent. The Lord told Laodicea to be zealous and to repent. Wow. Remember, this is the church that is lukewarm. This is the church that gone cold. This is the church that Jesus says, I would spew you out of my mouth because you're lukewarm. You're no good to me. I can't use a lukewarm Christian. But he tells them, be zealous. Hallelujah. Turn your life around. Amen, church. That's what we need to do. Turn our lives around for God. Amen. Let's get rid, if you were stand with me this afternoon, we need to get rid of the half-heartedness in our life concerning God. Amen? And the indifference and the lukewarmness and the carelessness. I tell you, it needs to go. Amen? And all the unconcern that we have had toward the house of God needs to go. Hallelujah. We need to be serious about God. We need to have a new passion poured into us for the kingdom of God and the house of the Lord. It's time that God's men and women get some enthusiasm and some fire under them. Praise God. That will move them forward for God, ready to do God's work. Hallelujah. We need a boost, as it were. Praise God. Hallelujah. That we have that eagerness of heart and soul that we earnestly and fervently pray one for another. Hallelujah. We need to burn with passion that we walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, stay in the Spirit, do well to others in well-doing. Look that we get to those that we can save for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That God can use us as instruments of righteousness. Why? Because we poured our heart in God and we want God's will to be done. It is God's will that none perish but that all come to repentance. Yes, yes. Hallelujah, church. Burn within you. If you lack a burning today, if you lack a zeal today, if you lack the gusto, you know, you see other Christians, boy, I wish I could be like brothers and sisters so-and-so. I wish I had their demeanor about them. They're always ready about to do the work of the Lord, you know. And you find yourself sometimes just sitting idle and back a little bit, wondering, how come I'm not in it? Well, come on, church. Get some passion about you. Hallelujah. Get on up with the altars. Come on up when people pray. Start getting in the altars yourself. Stop being cool. Stop being cold. Stop being half-hearted. Be hot for God. And what God has for you, come and receive it and thank God for it. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, if you show God you are sincere and you want the love of God and the zeal of God to burn in you, if you want God, as it were, to take and to stir up the gift that's lying dormant in you, hallelujah. See, I think that's a lot of what our problem is. We have the gift that God has given us, but we've allowed it to go dormant. We've allowed it to go cold. We've cooled off with God. We've become indifferent with the things of God and the things of this world. Come on, church. We become lackadaisical in our daily living and the things toward God. We're not concerned anymore with what's going on in our world. We're just going to live in these four walls and be content. No, sir. That's what the devil wants you to do. The devil wants you to go ahead and stay in the state that you're in. But God wants you to be delivered. God wants you to have fire. God wants you to have passion. God wants you to stand up in the time that you need to stand. God wants you to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ. God wants you to reach down and do your work. Hallelujah. But it's going to take you to get up just like Phineas and go. God's not going to twist your arm. Phineas got up. Phineas went forth. Oh, I hope I've gotten through this morning. We have got to get up. We've got to go forth. And we've got to be sincere with God. And we've got to say, God, here I am, here I kneel, help me, fill me, save me, sanctify me, do what is needed in my life. I am here, I am yours, I want to be full of your fire.
I don't know how else to say it. I just want fire in me, God. I just don't like where I'm at any longer. I don't want to stay in the condition that I'm in. I want fire, God. I want it to burn within me. I want to be excited about your house. I want to be excited about the law. I want to be excited about this walk in Christianity. Fire me up. Hallelujah. Fire me up. Let passion burn in me. Help me to stand like Apollos. Help me to stand like Ephras. Help me to stand like Josiah. Help me to stand like that of Phineas. Help me to stand like these men in Scripture, to be strong in the Lord and in the passion and the desire of God. So I call you to the altar. I want you to seek God this morning. I want you to come. I want you to get out of your places. If you want more of God, you need to be in these altars. If you want a passion renewed, a desire renewed, if you want earnestness renewed in your heart and life, if you're tired of not being serious, but you want to be serious with all sincerity with God, it's time to get in these altars with God. It's time to seek the passion of God in your life. We can't stay lukewarm. We can't stay indifferent. We can't stay disinterested in the things around us any longer. We've got to be men and women who are going to stand up, fill the gap, do what's right, have the zeal of the Lord burning within us, marching on toward God today, hallelujah, doing what God has commanded us to do, finding the places of opportunity where God sends us to do the things that need to be done.